The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, "Ten were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. I am so excited this evening because I have received a special strength of the Holy Spirit to spread and defend the faith in word and action as a true witness of Christ, to confess the name of Christ boldly and never to be ashamed of the cross. If you are excited as I'm excited, I want you to repeat those words we memorized last week. Are we ready? Are we ready? Bob is so kind, he has placed them on the PowerPoint. So, you say, "I did my homework, you did not." I took my challenge seriously. So, okay, let's try those words together. Let's go. I have received a special strength of the Holy Spirit to spread and defend the faith by word and action as a true witness of Christ, to confess the name of Christ boldly and not to be ashamed of the cross. Thank you very much. I don't just want you to memorize these words, but I want you to repeat them and believe these words, because we all have received a special strength of the Holy Spirit, and we are all called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ on this campus by our words, by our actions. Never to be ashamed of identifying ourselves as Christians. Never to be ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ, to boldly carry the cross of Jesus Christ. In today's gospel, Jesus Christ heals the 10 lepers. St. Luke tells us that Jesus Christ is on his way to Jerusalem when he performed this miracle. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verse 45, the lepers were required to cry, "Unclean, unclean," when they see someone approaching them. But the lepers in today's gospel do not cry, "Unclean, unclean." Rather, they shouted, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." This is the only instance in the gospel or in the New Testament where someone who wasn't a disciple of Jesus Christ called him Master. Probably these lepers saw something in Jesus Christ that the rest of the people, or most of the people, did not see. Other people did not recognize him as the Master and the Savior of their lives. Jesus Christ performed a miracle healing these 10, but only one of them returns to praise Jesus Christ, and the one who returned was a Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews never got along. They had centuries of quarrels. If you read the Gospel of John, chapter 4, when Jesus Christ encountered a Samaritan woman at the well and asked this woman for a cup of water, this woman said to him, "What have I, a Samaritan, to do with you, a Jew? For Samaritans and Jews do not share anything in common." But here among the 10 that Jesus Christ healed, one of them is a Samaritan. At least from the gospel, we know that at least one of them was a Samaritan. Because of their common misfortune, they all came together. They no longer looked at themselves as Jews or as Samaritans, but as lepers. Because again, the book of Leviticus chapter 13 says that lepers have to be kept outside of the gates or the walls of the city. And the gospel tells us Jesus Christ was close to Samaria, was around Samaria. So that tells us why there's a Samaritan among these Jews. But of all the ten, only this foreigner, this outcast, this Samaritan leper that comes back to praise God. Sometimes when we speak about us praising God or thanking God, we begin to think maybe God is such a very, he's so obsessed with himself that he always wants us to come back crawling and thanking him, you know, for what he has done for us. When we thank God, it's not about God. It's not because it makes him greater or he really, really needs our praise. It is for our own good. In today's gospel, the Samaritan who comes back and thanks Jesus receives salvation. Think about it. If this Samaritan, like the other nine, just walked away, never returned to praise God or to worship God, he would have missed this opportunity to be saved. As we pray in the preface, one of the prefaces for the weekday masses, our prayer of thanksgiving adds nothing to the greatness of God. It is itself a gift from God. Praising God is for our own good. The process of praise is a healing process. And when we praise God, we unlock our own blessings. Like the Samaritan in today's gospel, he unlocks the blessing of salvation because he praised God. So as Christian people, we have to be people of praise, people of gratitude, people of thanksgiving. We have to constantly thank and praise God in all circumstances. St. Paul tells us in the second book of Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, that we should always be thankful. In all circumstances, we should always thank God. Writing to the Colossians, it says to them in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, your lives as Christians should be rooted in Christ and should be full of thanksgiving. What does this mean? We as Christian people, we have no need to be complaining and whining about everything. We need to always thank God. Even when things do not go the way we may want them to go, we need to thank God. Even after studying so hard and you receive a failing grade, you need to thank God. We have to be people of praise. That's what St. Paul is asking us to do, and that's what Jesus Christ expects from us, to always be thankful. Sometimes we might look through our whole lives and say, well, there is really nothing in my life to be thankful for. No, there is something. Your very existence is something you need to thank God for. The temptation sometimes in our lives is to take credit for everything that happens in our lives and to blame God for every misfortune. When we have a misfortune in our lives, we blame God. And then when something good happens in our lives, we praise ourselves. When you get a very good grade, you think of yourself, wow, I'm really, really smart. I work so hard. I'm so intelligent. But actually, that praise belongs to God. When we get into the attitude of praising God, when things go on well, we'll find it very easy to praise God when we encounter misfortunes in our lives. Because everything comes from God. We need to be people of praise. We need to stop taking glory for our achievements or for what we are. Glory does not belong to us. Glory belongs to God. Sometimes we get into this attitude of entitlement when we feel that the things we are entitled to different things. We don't see the need to show gratitude, maybe to our professors who work so hard and they come in to teach us, to impart knowledge to us. And we say, well, we pay tuition, so there's no need to be grateful to them. No. For most of them, they are making big sacrifices to teach you. They could get a job that pays them more. But they are making that sacrifice to teach you. You need to be grateful to them. Christian people should not get into the whole attitude of entitlements. We deserve nothing. Everything we receive is a gift from God. The professor who stands in your classroom and teaches you every day is a gift from God to you. You must always make that connection between your faith and what you do. Make the connection between your faith and the classes you attend, the classes that you take. The two of them are not opposed to each other. Your professors are a gift from God to you. You must always see them and appreciate the work they do and thank them for what they do and thank God for sending them to you. All glory belongs to God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus Christ has this very long prayer toward the end of his life. And in that prayer, he says to the Father, I have glorified you, Father, by accomplishing the work that you have given to me. So that whatever we do, our work must always be seen as part of praise of God. Going to class shouldn't be something you grumble about. You look at it as part of accomplishing the work that God has given to you. That's a way of glorifying God. The jobs we do are not just to give us a paycheck, but again, they're part of our way of glorifying God. Because at that point in time, that is what God has given to you to do. So this week, as you go to classes, do not sit there texting away all the time, you know, texting and doing some other things or surfing the internet. When you do that, you are not accomplishing the work that God has given to you. And because you are not accomplishing that work, you are not glorifying God. You have to take your classes seriously, because that's a way in which you glorify God. We always need to be people of praise. St. Paul says, in all circumstances, always praise God. And I'm sure you're going to say to me, that's right. Why should I praise God if I have a C or a D or an F? Even if you have an F, still praise God, raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Because praise is a way in which our blessings are unlocked. It's a way we can unlock our blessings and be the people that God has called us to be. In 2007, I started preaching a series on hope at St. Margaret Mary in Parkersburg. Every Sunday I was preaching on hope, I was preaching on praise and thanksgiving to God. And I had my own big test in December, a day of 2007, a day before my birthday. my immediate other brother that I had just spoken with the previous day died in a crash. It was devastating because I thought I had a deal with God after my sister died in a crash that no member of my family was going to die that way. But it happened. I had two options. One, I could start complaining and blaming God and get so angry that this happened. Or I could get on my knees and begin to praise God. I went on my knees and I started praising and worshiping God. My friend who was with me that evening did not believe what I was doing. That I heard this news, this tragic news, and I went on my knees and I lifted my hands to God and I was praising Him and thanking Him for this situation. It is important for us to always praise God when we encounter those situations, because that is a time the enemy, the devil, is going to come against us. He's going to begin to put these voices into our minds and tell us, why do you trust in God? Look at what has happened to you. If God was real, this would not have happened to you. And if you are not careful, your faith may go down. By raising your hands to God and beginning to praise God, in those circumstances, you are affirming your trust in God. And you are handing over the situation to Him, asking Him to take care of it. You are telling God that He is the Lord of your life and the Lord of all lives. If I did not do that, I don't think I would have been able to go through that situation. After I went off, I praised and praised and praised God for about 15 to 20 minutes. I was strong enough to pick up the phone and then begin to speak with my other siblings, consoling them and sharing my faith with them and what I have done. The next morning, I had had a schedule to have coffee at Starbucks with one of my friends the next morning. And when we met, and I was telling her that my brother died the previous day, she didn't believe it. She said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I have praised God. I have worshipped God. God has taken care of the situation." That next morning, I called my dad. And my dad said to me, he's just coming back from daily mass. And people thought he was insane. He said, "No. He goes to mass every day. That because his son has died, he's not going to stay at home. To stay at home is to give the devil victory. He will do what he always does." He went to mass. It is always important to keep praising God during those difficult circumstances. Because when you begin to complain and whine about everything, that's when the enemy, the devil, will begin to work in you and might pull your faith down. If you go through the Bible, there are numerous instances in the Bible when the people of God, people of faith, encountered misfortunes or problems or difficulties in their lives, they went into praise rather than complaining. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, instead of them to begin to complain for this punishment, they just went up there and they lifted their hands to God and they just started praising God. The fire did not burn them. In the book of Joshua, chapter 6, when the people of Israel encountered the strong wall of Jericho, and this wall was a barrier to them, God said to them, "Sing and praise 7 times around the walls of Jericho." And they did, and the walls of Jericho came down falling. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, when Paul and Silas are being thrown into jail because of the miracle they performed, instead of them complaining and whining about the unfair treatment, They just went into praise and they started worshiping God. And they were singing and praising God. The gates of the prison became open and their chains were loosened. I don't know what prison or what misfortune or what you are suffering in your life right now. Rather than complaining about it to people, how the world is unfair to you, how nobody likes you, how everything is so difficult, nobody loves you, how nothing goes on well in your life, rather than complain about it, stop complaining and start worshiping God. Start praising God. Start thanking Him. Because that will be the key to your blessings. It will be the key to your success. That's the only effective way in which you can go through that problem. Because you are saying, God, I can't handle this by myself. I need you to help me. I need you right now to help me. And I give the glory to you because I know you are going to help me through this. In all circumstances, always praise God. I'm going to give you a special challenge for this week. In addition to memorizing those words, this week, I'm going to ask you to praise God. Praise God throughout this week. Whenever you encounter a problem this week, maybe the red light on University Avenue that takes forever to change. Rather than sit there and complain about the red light, just start praising God. Thank you, Jesus, for this red light. Maybe you have a midterm this week and you studied so hard and you got a grade that isn't good. Rather than complain about it and calling your professor names, saying he's mean and he's this and that, praise God. Maybe you have a difficult boss at work. He's so difficult with you this way. Rather than complain to colleagues or your spouse about him, don't say anything, just praise God. Maybe your spouse is very difficult. Rather than complain about it or get into any fight with him or her this week, just go into your room and just lift your hands to God and begin to praise Him. Maybe you have a difficult roommate. Instead of complaining about him or her, just go into your room and begin to praise God. That's your challenge for this week. Do not complain about anything this week. Do not be angry about anything this week. Do not act grudgingly this week about anything. In all those difficult circumstances this week, lift your hands to God in praise and thank Him. Say, thank you, Jesus. You will find out that this week, if you do that this week, will be your happiest week of your life.